Chapter 7. Sometimes temperature is as much a state of mind as a condition. See waves of heat rising from the asphalt, and chances are that you will think it is hotter outside than if you see the same road lined with snow. Juan Cabrillo had no illusions as to what he was seeing. The view out the window of the turboprop as it made its way across the Denmark Strait from Iceland to Greenland was one that could chill a man's heart and make him rub his hands together in pity. The eastern shore of Greenland was lined with mountains, and it was a desolate and barren sight. In all of the thousands of square miles that comprised eastern Greenland, there was a population of less than 5,000. The sky was deep blue-black and broiling with clouds that held snow. One did not need to touch the white-capped waters far below to know the water temperature was below freezing and the tossing torrent was in liquid form only because of the salt content. The thin rime of ice on the wings and the edging of frost on the windshield added to the image, but the thick ice cap that covered Greenland, barely visible through the windshield ahead, lent it the most chilling and ominous feel. Cabrillo made an involuntary shiver and stared out the side window.
"We're 10 minutes out," the pilot noted. "The report advises wind of only 10 to 15. It should be a cakewalk landing."
"Okay," Cabrillo said loudly over the noise from the engines. The men flew along in silence as the rocky outline loomed larger. A few minutes later, Cabrillo heard and felt the turboprop slow as it neared the outer edge of the airport's pattern. The pilot steered the plane from his crosswind leg onto the downwind leg that would take them parallel to the runway. They flew for a short distance, and Cabrillo watched the pilot adjust the flight controls. A minute later, the pilot turned on his base leg, then flew for a short distance and turned again onto his final approach.
"Hold on," the pilot said. "We'll be on the ground shortly."
Cabrillo stared down at the frozen wasteland. The lights lining the runway cast a pale glow against the afternoon gloom. The markings on the runway came into and out of view in the blowing snow. Cabrillo caught sight of the slightly extended windsock through the haze and growing darkness. The airport at Kulusuk, where they were landing, served the tiny population of 400 and was little more than a gravel runway, tucked behind a mountain ridge along with a couple of small buildings. The nearest other town, Amisalik or Tasiilaq by its Inuit name, was a 10-minute helicopter ride away and had three times the population of Kulusuk. When the turboprop was just above the runway, the pilot gave it rudder and strained it out against the wind. A second later, he kissed the runway as light as a feather. Rolling across the snow-packed gravel, he slowed in front of a metal building. Quickly running through the post-flight checklist, he shut down the engine, then pointed to the building.
"I've got to fuel up," he said. "You might as well head inside."